Amen. Well, praise the Lord for the Bible. That ought to get you excited. Well, isn't it been a great day to be in the Lord's house? A wonderful day to be here and hear the preaching of God's Word, to be with God's people. And I've already enjoyed the service, the songs, and that's special. And the testimonies have just been a blessing. And boy, is it good to be a Christian or what? Can we get some amens from that? The world has no idea, do they, of how good it is to be a Christian. And that's just the reality of the Christian life, that we have such a wonderful thing, wonderful salvation, and what a joy it is to be here in the Lord's house tonight. Well, our subject this evening is going to be basics of spiritual growth. Basics of spiritual growth. When something is expected to grow, it is a delight to see that growth taking place. We here are stepping into the spring months, at least we hope we are. And it's neat to start seeing the buds coming out on the trees, the flowers starting to grow. And it's just an exciting thing to see that taking place. It kind of reinvigorates us in life, and just it's a wonderful thing to see. And growth is a wonderful thing. Thinking of a child, a young child, as they are growing and developing, it's exciting to watch them learn new things and to experience new things and just to be growing and developing in who they are. Many here do a garden in the summer months. And as you start with that garden, it's neat to see your plants starting to grow. And if you have a green thumb, if you don't have a green thumb, that can be a discouraging thing, a garden. But growth is an exciting thing when you see it happening. And maybe it's an investment strategy you've put together, and you see that strategy and that plan working and growing and developing. And that's an exciting thing to see. And growth is important, and it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary in so many things. Now, when growth should be happening, and you see the opposite happening, you know something is wrong. Now, have you ever been to a fast food restaurant, and you go in, and you just get the vibes like, this place isn't doing so well? I'm thinking of a place that is no longer in existence in East Troy, the Burger King. I remember going in there a couple years ago, and I just had those vibes like, okay, this place doesn't look very clean. The outside is not being taken care of very well. And it's just not a good signs of progress and development taking place. And it doesn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me when I saw all the signs off and a for sale sign out there one day. But when the opposite of growth is taking place, it's something seriously wrong. And another example of that, I think of in high school, I got pneumonia, and it was really, you know, when you're supposed to be eating every day and drinking and things like that, and when you go for several days without doing that, you know something is wrong. Growth isn't taking place in the right way things should be. And I think some people, when I came to church that first time, thought I was a ghost, looked like skin and bones. But spiritual growth in the life of every Christian is the pattern that God intends for each believer. Spiritual growth is a direction, a forward versus backwards, of strengthening versus weakening. And this pattern is seen in several different ways in Scripture. And just to preface our message here this evening, I want us to look at a couple passages where we see this idea of spiritual growth taking place. So turn with me, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And this picture here is in the context of a church, and the importance of growth within a church, of spiritual growth. But Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 13, it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. There are several phrases in here that indicate the need for growth, for maturing, for developing in our lives as believers. It says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow, what a standard. What a goal we have in mind to attain to, that we are growing and developing to reach. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. And here we see another pattern of growth that is necessary, or that where it's illustrated. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 through 14. And this pattern of spiritual growth is illustrated with milk versus meat, or babes versus mature people or adults. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we see here a pattern that milk is for babes. Meat is for those who have developed, those who are stronger. And you know what? That can picture Christians. You know, when we first get saved, we're babes. We have to be fed the milk of the Word. But you know, there ought to be growth that's taking place, developing, maturing, where we are no longer feeding on just merely the milk or baby food, so to speak. We have matured and we have grown. There's spiritual growth that has taken place in our lives. So why is spiritual growth so very important? Well, I'm just thinking of on a personal level. It affects our growth or our walk with God. You know, if we are not experiencing spiritual growth in our life, if you as an individual, as a Christian, are not experiencing growth, development, maturing in your life, you know, that's a serious problem. That is an indication of your walk with God, of your fellowship with Him. Thinking in the context of a church, you know, it's essential that every Christian, every believer is experiencing spiritual growth in their life. And the condition of the church or the effectiveness of our church hinges on you, on every believer. And if you are not experiencing growth, development in your life, then that will affect this church. So spiritual growth is absolutely essential. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we were just there, but a little couple verses later, we see how every person is important and how essential it is that every single believer is experiencing spiritual growth, developing in their life, growing stronger for the Lord and in their walk with God. And in Ephesians 4 verse 16 it says, "For from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, every believer, every person, Christian supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." In other words, if there is one part that is not doing what it ought, that is not living how they ought, it's affecting the whole body. And your lack of growth in the things of God and developing and maturing affects this body of believers. Pastor mentioned it earlier, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, we see, and in several other occasions, the body, the church, was with one accord. And that every believer affects the spiritual condition. The spiritual condition of every believer is either strengthening or weakening the church. Therefore, it is essential that every Christian is experiencing spiritual growth in their life. Spiritual growth in the believer's life is determined by the presence of two basic necessities, the Word of God and prayer. I want us to focus our attention this evening on these two basics of spiritual growth, the Word of God and prayer. There's something about going back to the basics. I have heard the story of the famous Packers coach Vince Lombardi when his team was struggling. In the locker room, he brought a football in and he showed the football to all the team members and said, "Boys, this is a football." And he went back to the basics because they weren't getting the basics of football. And the basics or the foundations are the key to everything else in life. And I think everything in the context of kids now, because we have two kids. And, you know, as you're training and developing them, you start with the basics, the simple things of life, the most important things. And in spiritual growth, the Word of God and prayer are two absolutely basic things, essentials, necessities of the Christian life. And it's important to sometimes step back and look at what is basic, the basics of the Christian life, of spiritual growth. You know, I saw this reality lived out in a personal way in my life. The Word of God and prayer were a key, vital part in my dad's life. I think of each one of us children through these last few months, we often referenced how we saw our dad every morning on his knees in prayer and spending time in the Word of God. You know, what made his life successful were these basics, these essentials that were so foundational in his life. How he viewed the Word of God affected how he heard the preaching. So the presence of the Word of God in his life, in his personal life, made it effective so when he heard the preaching of God, he changed when he was confronted with truth. The reality of prayer in his life is what shaped and formed him. And these things are so basic and essential for our life. And really my goal and challenge here tonight is to stir every person, every Christian, every believer, to make these basics, again, the priority of their life. To put them as the foundation in their daily life. So that each of us can be experiencing the growth that God intends for us to. These two basic ingredients for the Christian life are the source of spiritual nourishment for the soul. You know, God gave us His Word. He gave us prayer as the avenues through which we can act with God and our soul can be fed and nourished. And so, first of all, this evening, the first basic of spiritual growth is the presence of Scripture. The presence of Scripture. And another thing, maybe you've been saved recently, or maybe you have not been in your walk where you ought to be. And I want this evening to be a challenge for you to make these basics the priority of your life. So the presence of Scripture in the believer's life. Now, if Scripture is going to be present and a part of your life, there's several things here I want to note this evening. Scripture must be valuable to you. How do you view the Word of God? If it's to have a part, an important part of our life, how do you view the Word of God? Is it valuable to you? Turn with me to Job chapter 23. I often think of this verse, and I hope it'll be a challenge for you here. But Job had a high view of the Word of God. In Job chapter 23, we will read verse 12. Job chapter 23, and in verse 12 it says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. How valuable is the Word of God to us? We become so used to and accustomed to the Word of God in our culture and our homes because it's so prevalent. We have so many copies of the Bible. We're in church many times. But does it have value? If we were taken out of the settings that we are in, would it still be important? Would it still be valuable to us? Job esteemed the Word of God more than even his food, the daily food that he needed to live. Do we have that same kind of value on the Word of God? There are several Old Testament examples of even kings who came across the Word of God, and they recognized the value of it. I think of one in particular who the Word of God had been lost and not present. And when he found it, he just made it such a priority. It was such a valuable thing to him. A great treasure, the Word of God needs to be valuable. A great treasure to us. You know, if it loses its value, you know, that's a serious thing. The Word of God, we need to have a high view of God's Word. It needs to be something that's valuable to us. You know, it's easy today in our materialistic society to get many things that become valuable to us, important, that in many cases may even replace the value of God's Word in our lives. And that ought not to be. The Word of God needs to be valuable, and we need to have a high view of God's Word. The presence of Scripture in our life. Scripture must be valuable to you. And also, spending time in the Word of God must be habitual. It must be habitual. You know, it's not enough just every now and then to open the Bible and just read a verse here and there. You know, it's not enough just to, when we get a spare moment, you know, to read the Word of God. Yeah, that's good. But you know what? It needs to be a habit of our life. I heard recently of a lady who was having a bunch of struggles and trials and issues in her home and her life. And she sought some counsel, or she sought somebody to help her. And the person asked her, "Well, how much are you reading the Word of God?" And she said, "Oh, I don't have time for that. What I try to do is when I'm in the car and I'm going somewhere, I try to just think of a verse and kind of just memorize or rehearse it and say it in my mind." You know, this lady was not making it a habit to be in the Word of God. And that certainly was a result, resulted in many of the issues that she was experiencing in her life. But you need to center your day and life around the Bible. That will solve so many problems. It will just help us in so many ways. The Word of God needs to be habitual. We need to be daily reading the Word of God, daily spending time in the Bible and in the Word of God. We need to make the preaching of the Word of God a priority in our life. That ought to be so important to us. You know, I think of personal devotions. You know, do you spend time each day with God? Do you make it, have you made it a habit that every day you are going to be in the Word of God? When you get up in the morning, you think about the Bible, you spend time reading the Word of God. I remember growing up, that was something that was important. I'd often be asked, "Did you read your Bible this morning?" Because that was important. And it was trained in us to be a habit of our life and to center our life around the Word of God. What about family devotions? Does the Word of God have a central place in your family? You know, dads, moms, maybe some of the reasons you're facing at home is because the Word of God is not the center. You know, it might do good for you to eat this evening, tomorrow night, to get the family together and say, "You know what, we're going to spend time in the Word of God. We're going to make this a priority in our lives." And that is the Word of God, the presence of Scripture in our life, is essential to spiritual growth. We also see you must make Scripture personal. Scripture must become personal. You know, how many people hear the preaching of God's Word? They sit in Sunday school class. They hear the Word of God. Maybe they have to read it at home. But it doesn't become something that they personally desire, that they personally interact with and delight and desire. You know, the Word of God, when it becomes personal, it's something we delight in. I think of the psalmist. Turn over to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 97. This whole chapter is filled with references to the Word of God and the importance of it in the psalmist's life. But this, the Word of God, was something very personal and something that David delighted in. He says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Could you say, "How love I thy law"? This is what you delight in. This is what you look forward to getting up in the morning and spending time in, or throughout the day, spending time in the Word of God. "Oh, how love I thy law." I think many times in our heart, it's, we have to read the Bible again. We have to go to church again. You know, if it's something that's personal to us, something that's real in our lives, we will have this same heart cry, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Turn over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. When the Word of God is personal, it's something we delight in. But it's also something, even as Pastor referenced and alluded to this morning, we have to receive the Word of God. It has to be something that we digest, that we take in for ourselves. In Acts chapter 17, and we'll look at verse 11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." It says that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready to receive it. They had a hungry heart. It was something they delighted in, that they wanted in their lives. Readiness of mind. It's just that the picture that you get there is that they were ready to soak it up. They were ready to receive the Word of God. And it mentions the Thessalonians there. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we have a good picture here of the Thessalonians and how they received it too. In 1 Thessalonians 2, and verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Notice how they received the word that they heard. It wasn't, "Oh, that's the Apostle Paul. Ah, we don't need to listen to him. It's just his own ideas." No, they received it as the Word of God, which he heard of us, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Is that the condition of your heart here tonight, that when you have a readiness to receive, and it is effectually working in you? It's having an effect on your life. Your life is being transformed by it. You know, the way they received the word determined the effect of the word on their life. And tonight, if you're stiff-arming the truth, if you, or stiff-arming the word of God in your life, you know what? It's not going to have the effect that God intends for it to have on your life. So, is the Word of God personal in your life? Is it something that you delight in and that you desire in your heart and in your life? There's one more truth I want us to see here. If the Word of God is going to have a presence in our life, we need to view the Word of God, if I can put it this way, from a nutritional position, standpoint. A nutritional. You must see Scripture as nutritional. You know, there's a comparison between the physical and spiritual in the Word of God. You know, food is very vital for growth. You know, if you're not eating food, you're not going to be stay strong. You're not going to be able to stay healthy. And food is important for our physical growth. And the Word of God is important for our spiritual growth. We need the Bible in our lives to help us grow. I've been reminded recently in Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 35, it says, He said, I am the bread of life. And at the beginning of John, Jesus is called the Word. So the Bible is the life-giving truth that satisfies our every want. It strengthens and sustains us. It's our spiritual food, our spiritual sustenance. And as we interact with the Word, as it becomes real to us, we know, learn of the Savior. We know Him in a more intimate way. You know, we need the Bible in our lives. How important is the Word of God in your life? How important is hearing the preaching of God's Word, of studying the Word of God in your own life? You know, do you take times in your life to spend time in the Word of God? You know, do you get busy with life and just say, oh, I don't have time for that now? Or is it important where, you know what, I have got to get in the Bible today. I have got to spend time in God's Word. You know, this is one of the most basic ingredients for spiritual growth, for the Christian life, is the Word of God. And how important is it in your life? The presence of Scripture in your life is absolutely essential to your spiritual growth. But as we mentioned earlier, we recognize that prayer is also one of those key basics ingredients for your life. And so secondly, the practice of prayer. The presence of Scripture, secondly, the practice of prayer. You know what? The life of prayer cannot be taught. It must be learned by experience. We could lecture and stuff for hours on prayer, but you know, until you personally bow your knee before God and commune with Him, you know, you won't really learn what prayer is. And in Scripture, there are given many reasons for us that should motivate us to pray. And I want us to point out some of those things here this evening. And I'm wanting us to highlight these two basic ingredients, the Word of God and prayer in your life. And they need to be the very center of our life. I want us to note, first of all, here the access that we have through prayer. You know, when we got saved, a lot of things changed. But you know, we have a new privilege through salvation. We can pray. We're commanded to pray. You know, before we got saved, you know, our prayers just bounced off the ceiling. But now we have the opportunity as a child of God to come before the Father. An amazing privilege, an amazing opportunity that we have in prayer. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And here we see the access that we have through prayer, with the access to God the Father. The God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, our Savior. We have access to Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. It says, for through Him, Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through salvation, through Jesus Christ, we have access to God the Father. In Matthew chapter 6, we have the model prayer. In the beginning, it says, our Father, which art in heaven. That is the object of our prayer. It's directed to God the Father. And what an amazing privilege, the access to God that we have through prayer. How foolish it is for us to not take advantage of this privilege of prayer in our lives. To go to the Father, to have that ready and that ever-present access to God the Father. We have access to God the Father. We have access to the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4 and several verses there, we see this amazing access that we have. Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. Again, through Jesus Christ, our high priest, we have access to the Father. Seeing then, verse 14, that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have access to the throne of grace. Let us come boldly, not just timidly, not just on certain occasions when we're in desperate need. No, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whatever the situation, the trial we are facing, we have access to the throne of grace. Wayne Thompson said, prayer is the link that connects earth and heaven, the impotence of man with the omnipotence of God. Wow, that's the access we have in prayer to God Almighty, where we can commune in fellowship with God Almighty. So we have access through prayer, but we also have communion in prayer. You know, prayer, I think in our minds, we can often lose what it really is all about. Prayer is about fellowship with God. It's about communion, fellowship with Him. It's not about praying a list. It's not about just merely telling God our problems. He wants to hear our prayers and hear about our needs. But you know, it's more than that. It's about fellowship with God. When I was younger, I remember memorizing a quote by Spurgeon that has, initially I didn't really understand what it meant, but more and more it's becoming very important and I'm understanding its significance. Spurgeon said, prayer is the avenue by which the consciousness of God is entered. You know, if we don't spend much time in prayer, you know, we're going to have a little view of God. We're going to have a little consciousness of Him. A little fear of God. But you know, when we bow before Him, when we spend time before God at the throne, you know, we learn about God. We develop a consciousness of His presence in our life. You know, prayer is about communion. The life of communion with God. And that communion with God, we see in John chapter 15, flows from an abiding relationship. In John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It comes from an abiding relationship with God Almighty. About being filled with the Spirit, walking with God, yielding to His control. Depending on Him, we can have fellowship and communion with God. You know, God delights in that. He wants us to spend time with Him. You know, a good dad wants to spend time with his children. How much more God the Father? He wants and delights in you and me coming to Him, spending time in prayer. And, you know, if we are not abiding in Christ, you know, we're not going to experience that vital relationship with God, that communion, that fellowship that He wants. You know, the challenge here, you know, when I think we often think, I know at least in my life, when it comes to prayer, we think, oh, I just need to spend more time. I need to, you know, we just try to, I think we often have the heart like the disciples, teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray, but I have found just as you do it, as you spend that time in prayer, reading the Word of God and fellowshipping with God in prayer and in communion with Him, you know, it becomes something that's very real, not just something that's rigid or, oh, we know we have to do it, so we just put in some time. No, it's something that we ought to delight in. It's something that we ought to enjoy and experience communion and fellowship with God. You know, prayer is something that God intends to be a way of life. Not just in the morning we spend a few minutes in prayer. That's important. But you know, we need to be in fellowship. We need to be in prayer with God throughout the day. Communion, this life of prayer, ought to be a way of life for us. It ought to be something that just naturally flows throughout the day. Us in that abiding relationship with Jesus Christ that just flows. That fellowship with God is just freely flowing back and forth. That's communion. That's prayer with God the Father. Couple neat quotes here that I have is, again, one whose life is spent in fellowship with God will constantly seek and find opportunities for swift and frequently recurring approaches to the throne of grace. Do you find yourself in situations all throughout the day going to God in prayer? You know, maybe you're busy doing something and you say, Lord, I need your help here. And you're just in a free relationship with Him. It's like us communing with somebody that's right here with us. That ought to be that relationship that we have with God throughout the day in communion and fellowship with Him. One who lives in the spirit of prayer will spend much time in retired and intimate communion with God. It is by such a deliberate engagement of prayer that the fresh springs of devotion which flow through the day are fed. For although communion with God is the life energy of the renewed nature, our souls cleave to the dust and devotion tends to grow formal. It becomes emptied of its spiritual content and exhausts itself in outward acts. The Master reminds us of this grave peril and informs us that the true defense against insincerity is in our approach to God lies in the diligent exercise of private prayer. Do we spend time with God? Do we fellowship and commune with Him? Is prayer a vital part of our life? How important is prayer in your life? Do we see it as something that's valuable? Do we see it as a necessity in our life? You know, to think that we can have fellowship with God in prayer is just an amazing thing. And I even recently just have been challenged in the area of prayer, in the matter of prayer. And I knew it was real. I saw how God used so many men in history and in the Word of God and how important prayer was. And I knew there was something real there. There was something that's powerful that I needed to get for my own soul. And I certainly am nowhere there. But you know what? There have been times where I realized that prayer is so vital, that it's real. That's not just something that's formal and rigid, but a real relationship with God. And that is where a way in which we meet with God. You know, that fellowship, that communion with God, that ought to be something we desire and we crave. Now, another thing that ought to motivate us to prayer are just all the promises of prayer. And we don't have time to look at all of them, but I just want us to look at a few here this evening. And maybe this would motivate you to spend time in prayer throughout the day to pray to the Father, to pray and spend fellowship and communion with Him. And John 15:7, we read that verse. It says, "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, we may just read that and kind of in our soul think, huh, what does that really mean? Can we really ask what we will and it shall be done? Well, you know what? When you spend time in prayer, when you are in a close fellowship with God, that is a promise. And that is something that God wants us to be experiencing. You know what? One of the traits of a revived Christian is regular answers to prayer. We ought to be seeing God regularly answer our prayers throughout the day. Maybe prayers that, you know, God doesn't always answer immediately on certain things, but, you know, there ought to be regular answers to prayer in our life. You know, if we are continually bringing our needs and our burdens to the Lord, we ought to be seeing God answer those prayers. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." That's a promise. And you know what? Just spending a moment in prayer, praying before our meals, you know, we're not going to know the depths of these promises, the reality of them that God intends for us to. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8. Again, powerful promises of prayer. And do we really believe these promises? That they are real, that God really does intend for us to be experiencing these promises. In verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." You know, again, it's like I said earlier, prayer cannot necessarily be taught. You have to experience it. And I'm wanting to encourage you, and my desire is to compel you here to seek God. And that matter of prayer, make it a priority in your life, and you will begin to know God in a real way and see God answer prayers in amazing ways. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." That's a promise. "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Certainly faith needs to accompany our prayers in humility and brokenness before God. And we're not going to spend time to looking at those important things, but my desire is to motivate us as a church and as individuals to be people of prayer, where we recognize the access that we have to the Father and we take advantage of that. And we can spend time in fellowship and communion with God. And these promises, oh, how they ought to stir us to be people of prayer. Think of the power that there is in prayer. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And this is just one verse out of many that we could find here in Acts that demonstrate the power that there is in prayer. And let me just say, I'm grateful for how even in many of you, God has been working in this matter of prayer. And even as a church, those times of spending time in prayer are so vital, not just leading up to meetings, but that ought to be our life. That ought to be, the Bible says, God's house ought to be a house of prayer. That shows it's important to God. It's something that is right at the heart of God, is prayer. And I know in my own life, I've missed in so many cases that reality of how important it is. But in Acts 4, verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." The key was they prayed. And God did miraculous things. He did miracles, mighty things because of prayer. And we see this throughout Acts. Whenever the church advanced in Acts, it was preceded by prayer. And if prayer is not a vital part of our church and of our lives, you know, our spiritual growth is not going to be what God wants it to be. You know, do we really believe prayer works? How does our life show to God that we really believe prayer works? Whether you're a young person, a teenager, an adult, an older senior citizen or an older adult, you know, do you believe prayer works? What would happen if our church was filled with prayer warriors? We've heard stories of people, prayer warriors, how God mightily used them in their life. But what if your life, what if every one of our lives was that kind of person? We would be seeing God do miracles and miraculous things here. You know, do we spend time in prayer? Is it a priority in our life? You know, if you're a new believer, get a hold of this truth right now. Build your life on these basics, and it will transform you. It'll make you just into a person that God can mightily use. There are, like I said, there's many examples of people of prayer, but I'm reminded here tonight of David Livingstone, a great missionary in Africa. And certainly his accomplishments for the Lord were founded in prayer. And that's the case with anyone who does great things for God. This book states, "How much of the regeneration of Central Africa do we not owe to the prayers of David Livingstone? He did not leave to see the healing of the open sore. It was not given to him to know the advancing Christian culture of the dark continent. But the record of his prayers is on high. His journals give some slight indication of his lonely vigils, his daily and nightly intercessions. He lived praying for Africa. And when he felt the coldness of death seizing upon his frame, he crept out of his bed. And as he knelt upon the floor of the rude grass hut in Chitambo's village in Ila, his soul took flight to God in prayer. He died, his sympathetic biographer informs us, in the act of praying. Prayer offered in that reverential attitude about which he was always so particular, commending his own spirit with all his dear ones, as was his wont, into the hands of his Savior, and commending Africa, his own dear Africa, with all her woes and sins and wrongs, to the avenger of the oppressed and the redeemer of the lost." Wow. He was a man who understood prayer. And may God help us this evening. May God help our church to be people of prayer, where we see God in a powerful way through prayer and using us. I wonder here this evening, have you been experiencing spiritual growth in your life? Have you been going forward? Have you been growing? Are these basics of the Word of God and of prayer an essential part of your life? Have you been going backwards? What's the condition of your growth here this evening? Does the Word of God have the right priority, the right place in your life? Does prayer, do you see it as an effective tool? Do you see it as a powerful tool that we have as Christians to go have access to the Father, to see God do mighty things? You know, my burden here tonight is to challenge every believer to commit or recommit to making the Word of God and prayer a priority in your life. You say, oh, I don't know where to begin, or your heart is cold towards the things of God. Let me encourage you. Go home tonight, after the service, tomorrow, this week. Just spend time alone with God. Get into the Word of God. Set aside extra time to pray and to read the Bible. And you know what? That coldness will change. That coldness will go away in your life. And I want to challenge everyone here tonight. You know, what is the condition of these basic ingredients in your life? You know, if our life is not centered and built on these basics of the Word of God and of prayer, we're not what we ought to be then tonight. We're not experiencing the relationship and the fellowship and the growth that God intends to for our life to be experiencing. You know, just think about how that would change our church here tonight. If we committed to spending time in the Word of God every day. Maybe you used to do that. Maybe you used to spend time in the Bible. But now it's kind of been put to the wayside. Can I encourage you tonight to make it again a priority in your life? To make the Word of God, to being in God's house and hearing the Word of God, not something we dread or wish the time would go quicker so we could get out, but rather a time where we are here to meet with God. When we open the Bible, we're there to meet God. When we spend time in prayer, it's communion with God Almighty. Fellowship with Him. Can I encourage you here tonight, if prayer has never been a priority or an important thing in your life, to have that cry, teach us to pray, teach me to pray. And then spend time in prayer, seeking God and fellowshipping with Him. And you know what? God will teach you if that's your heart and that's your desire. And it will transform your life, I guarantee it. Setting aside time each day, specifically to pray, but then throughout the day, fellowshipping and communing with God in a personal way. So the basics of spiritual growth. How are you doing here tonight? Do you need to get back to the basics? The Word of God, prayer. Have you grown cold? You know, I know there's people. We all need help in these areas. But you know, if the Word of God and a prayer is not an important thing, we mightily need God to convict us here tonight. Because this is the vital part of our life. And if we aren't praying, if we aren't reading God's Word, you know what? We're going to go our own way. We're going to go far from God. And I've looked at people that sat here. You know what? They're far from God now. That have gone. And you know what? The Word of God lost its priority, its importance. Prayer and these basics, you know what? They don't mean anything now. And may God help us tonight. And I know this truth could have been given in a much better way, but I trust the Lord would use it in our hearts, in our lives, and in our church to compel us to be people of prayer and of spending time in the Word of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, would you help us here tonight? And Lord, I'm asking that the Spirit of God would rule in this time. And even in the, Lord, I know, Lord, I'm just trusting the Spirit of God to use the truth that you've laid on my heart and I sensed you guiding and directing for tonight. Lord, we need to be a church filled with people that are spending time in the Word of God, that the Word of God is transforming lives, our lives. We need to be people of prayer. Oh God, we become so cold and indifferent to the truth in the day and age that we live in. And we need you to revive us. We need you to quicken us through your Word. And oh God, would you work in hearts here tonight? May every believer be compelled tonight to spend time in the Word of God daily, to seek your face, to spend time in prayer, to experience that such real and vital relationship and fellowship that you want to have with us. So Lord, help us here this evening, we ask. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there someone here, maybe a new Christian, or maybe a Christian that has grown cold, and the Word of God and prayer has not been a priority? or you have not been reading it every day and spending time in definite times of prayer, seeking the Lord and spending time with Him, or reading the Word of God. And tonight, you would decide, the Spirit of God is working in your life, and you tonight are going to decide, I'm going to spend time each day in the Bible, reading God's Word and in prayer. And maybe it's you, something you used to do, but you haven't, and you need to get back to doing it every day, or maybe it's you've never started. And tonight, just by simply raising your hand, you'd indicate, the Spirit of God has worked in my life in that way, and I am going to commit to reading the Bible and praying every day and seeking the Lord. Not just going through the motions, but making it personal, making it real in your life. Is there anyone here tonight that the Lord's working in your life in that way? All right, thank you. Well, Lord, I pray that these that raised their hands and maybe even others that knew they should have, oh God, that it would become something so real to them, to all of us, where people can look at our lives and they see something that's real. A Christian life that's not just a facade, but something that's who we are, truly are. Oh God, would you just help those that raise their hand to nail that down tonight with the help of the Spirit of God, that may they just commit that to you and making that a priority, the basics of the Christian life and of spiritual growth a priority in their lives. And we trust you to do that work, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.